Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody. Before we get into this week's episode, just wanted to say that we all watched Spider-Man No Way Home, and we are going to spoil it at the top of the show. So this is your warning. Check the show notes. I'm going to put a timestamp there when you can tune back into the episode and listen to it without spoiling it for yourself. So if you're listening to my voice right now and you do not want to be spoiled, check the show notes, please, and look for that timestamp, and you should be good to go. All right. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
He works in nuclear research.
Oh, he's a nuclear scientist?
Well, not exactly.
So we inject them with nuclear waste, and then we study their brain waves and other organs to examine the effects of the nuclear waste on various species of anthropoids.
Fascinating, Professor. But tell me, they're playing tic-tac-toe and the chimpanzee appears to be winning. How is this possible?
Because the monkey is smarter.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Amy Network. To find more from us, check out the website at themainamy.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at themainamy. We're also now a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio, and with me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Meyer. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hello, everyone. I think we might have finally found a movie that we may all hate really badly.
Yep.
Spider-Man No Way Home. Yep.
Exactly. Right on, Dan. We're going to take the hot takes so that we get people to hate watch our stuff.
Yeah.
I get it.
There you go. Yep. This is a bad one this week. So before we get into that, we'll talk about what we watched this week. And I think we've all decided that we're just going to talk about one thing because we've all watched the big thing. So, gentlemen, I'll start with Dan. What did you watch this week?
I watched Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yep. As did all of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what'd you think?
I loved it. I very much enjoyed myself. It was a... I have to see it again to kind of rank it, see where it ranks. But it's up there for sure. It's definitely easily top 10. Man, I are we doing spoilers or are we kind of just doing a broad non-spoiler?
We'll post a spoiler warning, but yeah, you could spoil it, I think.
Okay. So the villains were phenomenal. For the big two villains, I'll say Molina and Defoe, reprising their roles as Doc Ock and Green Goblin. Yeah. Fantastic. Just stole the show. I also liked Jamie Foxx as Electro. I think they did him real dirty in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
They made a point to let you know it throughout the entire movie, this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. He had a lot of he chewed the scenery very, very well. He was more Django-esque, yeah, in this movie. It was very, you know, very cool. Played everything kind of cool, and he was fun. And then of course, you know, seeing Toby and Andrew Garfield reprise their roles as their respective Spider-Men. Fantastic. It wasn't the perfect movie. I know a lot of people are saying, "Oh, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. Best Marvel movie ever." I can't say it's the best Marvel movie ever. But it's close. It's real close. It dragged in a couple parts. I thought in some of the other villains kind of lackluster, you know, Sandman, Lizard, they were just kind of probably could have done without them, honestly. But yeah, oh man, just seeing the three of them kind of swinging together at the end scene and the banter back and forth between them was fantastic. Andrew Garfield got his moment. Might have been my favorite part of the movie when he gets his moment with MJ. Mm-hmm. I kid you not, I teared up a little bit. I teared up a little bit seeing how emotional he got. But again, you kind of saw it coming a mile away, but still, it's what that moment meant to him. Fantastic. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Great. Mark?
Yeah. So on the same boat as Dan, it probably is in my top three of Marvel movies. It's going to take a lot to unseat Winter Soldier, in my mind, but this was probably as close as it's been in a while. I really, really enjoyed it. The Electro does and Sandman do deliver probably my favorite line amongst the villains, is when they talk about how they both became what they did. And, you know, I fell in a vat of electric eels. He's like, well, I fell in a collider. And Jamie Foxx goes, got to watch where you fall. And it just made me, I was the only one in my row laughing. But for some reason, that line really got me. And I thought it was well done. That whole scene inside the apartment, with all the villains there, with some really good writing, and probably one of the best uses of the spider senses that I've seen in any of the movies. I think the way they introduce the Spider-Men, the Spider-Man, like, do we know the plural?
I would say Spider-Men.
Yeah. Yep. Introduced them was great. I think Andrew Garfield steals the show as among the Spider-Men when they're together. They let him shine a little bit because, you know, his movies aren't as well regarded as the other ones, but or he could just be the better actor of the three. God knows. I don't know. The whole scene in Ned's house where he's sticking to the ceiling and then the grandmom is oblivious and just like, can you get that cobweb for me? You know, it's just perfect. And then the two of them fighting when Toby comes through because they both get spider sense is great. I think they did something like almost impossible in terms of making it all work and not feel bloated. In there, each Spider-Man had its point for being in there and had a reason to, you know, help Tom Holland's Peter. You know, they help him get over Aunt May by explaining that they've lost people really close to them. And I'm glad they brought up, you know, about Gwen Stacy, which from seeing the trailers, I knew where that was kind of going once that moment happened. It's like, oh, that's who catches MJ in the trailer.
Yeah.
But I think my singular favorite moment of the three of them is when they swing down and land on the shield or whatever, and they each do their pose. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think they land on I think it's Statue of Liberty's head.
Head or something. Yeah. They each do their pose. That was great. I don't know. The only thing that distracted me about Doctor Strange is that wig was terrible that he wore. Yeah, that was in the opening scene. Looks like a reshot with a wig when they first meet. The second one when he's on Statue of Liberty looks natural. But yeah, it just looks too clean. And yeah, I was like, oh man, I was like, it's not as bad as the mustache from Superman, but, you know, that whole introduction, I'll pass this along to Ant just with the final thing is I've heard some people not really like how the ending occurs. But I think I really liked where they left it. I think it's the perfect place to leave it. There's some holes, but you got to suspend disbelief in some things. I think, you know, having him be on his own and seeing that his friends are okay is sort of the right place to leave it.
For me, I really liked it, but with some trepidation. I'm not willing to put this in my top three, top five yet, because I don't know how well it's going to age, just in terms of watching it again, repeat viewings, and those surprises, however much of a surprise they were or were not, how much that's going to carry over to repeat viewings. Because otherwise, I do have, like, I enjoyed all that kind of stuff, but at the same time, I keep saying, is this just a fan service movie? Because the plot isn't really that important to me while watching it. I had a great time in spite of not caring about the plot. I thought the conceit of just getting everything to come together was a bit weak. Like, all of a sudden Doctor Strange is like distracted by Peter Parker. Come on, like, that's, you're supposed to be, you're supposed to be like the Sorcerer Supreme, regardless of who really has the title in this movie. So, I mean, obviously, it's just in service of the plot. You know, you got to get everything off, and you know, they figured it out well enough. But I thought that was a little weak. I really liked all three Spider-Man showing up. I like, you know, I don't really care for the Amazing Spider-Man movies, but you know, made me care about Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. So that's great. I felt like Jamie Foxx wasn't in the same movie as everybody else. I felt like he was just off the set of Baby Driver because he's playing Jamie Foxx in this. Or he's playing Motherfucker Jones.
Yeah.
Really?
I loved it. I think it was such a step forward. I mean, again, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, not a good movie in any regards. So it's so much easier to fix that character.
But was it a fix? I mean,
oh yeah, I think so.
I just didn't really feel like he was playing a character. I felt like he was playing Jamie Foxx. Yeah, is that solving the problems of Electro?
Yeah, I would say so, because he had, in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, he was just like this hapless nerd who his whole identity was like how much he loved Spider-Man. And in this one, it's just now he's actually, he has a purpose to being there. He wants to stay. I guess they make him cooler is what fix was. He's cooler. Yeah, looks much better. Yeah.
I guess
his design was way better.
Yeah. I mean, he was the third best villain, but that's not saying much.
Yeah. I like Alfred Molina and Willem Dafoe were great in it. I really enjoyed them. I had no problems with Spider-Man. I gave it an 8, but I'm just worried that it's kind of gonna fall apart when put under a microscope of sorts. That's really my kind of weariness. But you know, I'm not saying I'm gonna hate it. I'm just saying maybe it'll be like a 7, 7.5.
I think what I realized about Spider-Man movies, and especially this one, obviously we have the old story of Uncle Ben kicking the bucket, you know, telling Peter, great power, great responsibility. And it's sad, obviously, but in every Spider-Man movie up until the No Way, you know, the Home series or whatever they're going to call it, the Home trilogy, you only get one, you get one movie and a couple of scenes of Uncle Ben. So you got three movies of Aunt May in this. And that is a little bit more impactful when she dies. And it's, I thought the plot was, it definitely stuck truer to Spider-Man's mythos, where he does everything he possibly can to save everybody, including the villain. Mm-hmm. In the comic books, he's always trying to like help the people trying to kill him. He doesn't drop them off buildings, you know, he doesn't just, you know, stab them, blah blah blah. And that's what I thought was really impressive, is and he wanted to kind of get rid of them, and it wasn't his problem, but Aunt May coming in and kind of showing him the ropes, like, this is what it takes to be Spider-Man. And up until this point, he had not sacrificed anything, Peter. And obviously that's one of the main things of Spider-Man, is something has to be sacrificed for him to be Spider-Man. I thought they did a very good job of getting that message across. It's definitely an emotional movie. I agree. It's definitely has a bunch of fan service in it. You know, Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin saying the old meme, you know, I'm somewhat of a scientist myself. Tobey Maguire, when he runs into Doc Ock at the end, and, you know, oh, I'm just doing better every day, like an old line from Spider-Man 2. They even have the meme of the three of them pointing at each other at the on the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely fan service in a way. But there's some really great shots, too. There's so many cool shots. Just one that sticks out in my mind, it's like peak Spider-Man, is Holland in Times Square, mask off, it's raining, and he's just looking at this giant billboard of J. Jonah Jameson just talking shit about him. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, Public Enemy signs everywhere. And it's like, holy fuck, man, that's a great shot. Look, that's Spider-Man right there. Yeah. The three of them swinging, like running off the plank together. God damn it, man. Like, I marked out. I was dying in the thing. I was like grabbing my wife's shoulder. Like, holy shit, are you watching this? Yeah, I definitely, yeah. I'm looking at this through the lens of obviously someone who loved Raimi movies. I like Andrew Garfield. I did not like his movies. And just because he's good in this movie does not reconcile those movies. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
restore the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. Like, oh, we got to get him back in it. Do we? We don't need to. Maybe let's just pump the brakes. He was good in this. Let's kind of let him walk off into the sunset.
Right. Let this be his redemption. Yes. He doesn't need more movies.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to point out that I don't know, that I learned that I didn't notice when I saw it, but by listening and reading other things, is that, you know, they did some, how unnoticeable the de-aging was on Alfred Molina and Willem Dafoe for them. Apparently they did a lot of work on that. Mm. I didn't, pretty good. Yeah, I didn't notice it, that they did it. So that either means it was really good or I haven't seen photos of those two recently.
Yeah, I think there was a difference between making older guys look like less old but still kind of old guys versus making Robert De Niro look like a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was a bad look.
Yeah, and it also, I came to this realization afterwards that I was thinking about why they picked the villains they picked, especially the last two, and then I realized it was because they wanted one villain from each of the movies, the older movies.
Sure.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's why Lizard's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because wasn't Goblin in Amazing Spider-Man 1?
No. Lizard was Amazing Spider-Man 1, and then Dane DeHaan's Goblin shows up at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay. Yeah. I knew there was a Goblin at some point.
Yeah, quote-unquote Goblin.
Yeah.
It's in the loosest sense.
Yeah.
What about the Matt Murdock cameo?
Oh, that was pretty cool. We completely...
Yeah.
I enjoyed high school cameo. Yeah. And it didn't overstay its welcome.
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's great, and it's more important for like the overarching MCU, you know, crossing over into TV, finally crossing over into the films, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously there's some other ones that have just happened too.
I would say my favorite scene of the movie, like I said, was Garfield, Spider-Man saving MJ. My favorite line of the movie is when all three of the Spider-Men are working together and they're kind of getting in each other's way. They're not used to working in a team. So Holland's Spider-Man says, I've been on a team. I worked with the Avengers. And Toby goes, that's great. What are they? I was hoping they would bring up, like, oh, you know, these guys don't know anything about this universe. So they're, you know, there is no Captain America or Iron Man or anything like that. It's like just the enthusiasm. Oh, that's great. No, who are those people?
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
They had some good stuff in there. I need to see it again, but it's definitely top 10.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. It's fun, but it's just like, is it fun? Is it like a hollow fun, I suppose, is what I'm kind of saying. Yeah.
Almost like a, I think I mentioned it before, but like a recency bias kind of thing.
Yeah.
You just saw it. It very well could be, because, you know, 10, 15 years from now, you know, if I have a kid, you have a kid, Mark has a kid, watching these movies, it might not mean as much, you know? You're like, oh, well, all right, well, what's the importance of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man?
Yeah.
It means nothing to them, because right. They didn't grow up with the Raimi and the Mark Webb movie.
So yeah.
It means something to us, goddammit.
And that's all that matters, as long as it means something to you.
Yeah, get off my nuts, future kid.
All right, yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up for our Spider-Man No Way Home talk. We're going to take a quick break, and you guys are going to list some ads so we can pay those bills, and we'll be back in a second.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome back. Now it's time to get into this week's movie. And this week was our Christmas Twitter poll. And we pitted three terrible sequels against each other. We pitted Jingle All the Way 2, Christmas Story 2. Those two all lost. And we blame you for it, the listeners and the voters on Twitter. And also a little bit of Tom, because he mentioned this movie. And that's the reason why we had this Twitter poll. We wound up watching Christmas Vacation 2, : Cousin Eddie's Christmas Island Adventure. Yeah. gentlemen, where are you coming from with Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Christmas Island Adventure? Dan.
I legitimately debated not doing this podcast tonight. I was thinking about, I was like, I don't want to do this. There's nothing to record here. Not that there's not an episode in it. It just, it's made me angry. This movie.
Did this ruin Christmas for you?
It's very close.
He's got to go watch Lord of the Rings.
Then. Yeah. I still need to finish Return of the King. I got to watch that. But holy shit, man. Wow. I don't think I've ever seen a movie, like such a clear example of a movie that had no business being made.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen all the Terminators after Terminator 2. And a lot of those movies didn't deserve. This movie might be the number one pick for why on earth. Who put money towards this? There are people, there are starving children out there. That money for Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure should have gone to feed them. This movie was horrendous.
So I love the passion in your voice tonight.
I'm fired up, man. I was in pain watching. Like the entire time I'm sitting there, I was like, ugh. Come on, hurry. every scene takes forever.
And none of the jokes land.
I did not crack one smile. There was no laughter to be had on this desolate wasteland of a movie.
It's almost 20 years old, too. We're coming up on its 20th anniversary, 2003. what about you, Mark? Where are you coming from?
Yeah, so as angry as Dan is, I'm more exhausted. Yeah, would just, I was like, oh, like, there's an hour left? What is this? And all the jokes you could both telegraph and know that the punchline was going to be bad. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, words to try to describe this movie are hard to come by in a very bad way. The first thing that made me laugh was when that I saw that Third Johnson, and this is going to be a thing that's going to make Aunt chuckle. Third Johnson was played by the younger brother from Lizzie McGuire. And I thought, oh, so this is what he did with that little bit of fame he had. He went and made the Christmas Vacation sequel. It's a shame. Yeah. the rest of them just seemed to be there for a paycheck. The ones that had any kind of clout to their name in this movie. And it's just, it doesn't work on any level. Like, it makes no sense why their life is like this. Like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't seen, paid too much attention to Eddie's storyline in Christmas Vacation. But isn't it that they live in the RV?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
They gave up the dirt farm on that one. He lost the dirt farm, but he traded it in. He basically traded it in for the RV.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, now they have a house in Chicago? Like,
that's not their house.
Oh.
That's, that's Audrey's house.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
They were house sitting.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That shows you how much I paid attention to this movie.
Well, you just missed the info dump in the first 2 minutes of the movie. That's the only reason why Third has a girl that he's talking to in the opening scene. So he just info dumps on her.
Oh man. This is definitely a sequel, and as Dan said, we have all watched some pretty bad sequels to things. I can't imagine the other two that lost the poll could be any worse than this movie. I don't like a lot of the Ed Asner stuff does not play well in 2021. A good bit of the jokes don't play well then and definitely don't play well now. Does Fred Willard just like the need to be out of his house? Is that like, you know, they're just like, hey, Fred, you can come on set for 2 days. God damn it. I got to get out of this house. Yes. Whatever. I don't care what it is.
I think it keeps him out of porno theaters.
Yeah. 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 It's just whatever do I got to do to not go back to that demon. Oh yeah, there's so much I guess this is like a producer had a whole bunch of money he needs to earn. This feels like a very much a studio needs to make like a budget line or something by the end of the fiscal year, and they're like, hey, we got like $10 million to burn. Why don't we make a sequel to Christmas Vacation? Yeah, it's a TV movie, right? If I'm not mistaken, there's no way this was released in theaters.
It was not released in theaters. I don't know if it was. It's got commercial breaks from what it seemed like, so
yeah.
It probably was aired somewhere. I just assumed it was like a direct-to-video, but yeah. Now that I'm thinking of it, there were commercial break, like act breaks.
It says TV movie on it.
Yeah, I wonder where it aired. I'm going to look that up.
I would say like Spike TV or like one of those channels.
What is ABC run or like Freeform? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Back in 2003, it was probably ABC Family at that point.
Yeah, the 25 Days of Christmas thing.
Yeah, exactly. I love one of the trivia notes of this movie is Beverly D'Angelo was asked to reprise her role as Ellen. And she said she couldn't because she had to take care of her children in New York. Yeah, I'm sure you did, Bev. Yeah. Oh, no, I forgot. I need to take care of my kids. Yeah, that's it. Oh, your kids are all grown. No. Got it.
Aren't they? I'm not sure
they're
okay.
No. They're probably at like 25, 30. No, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't hear you. I got to go. I'm entering a tunnel.
It does have a TV rating of TV-14, so it must have been. Yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee you if this was some kind of straight-to-DVD movie, we would have seen the Asian lady naked at some point.
Sure.
No, yeah. Like, I'm shocked. Like, so I don't want to give too much credit here, Quaid, because, I mean, I don't think he's ever been a very good actor. He's been in some good movies, but he played an iconic character in the Vacation movies, right? Mm-hmm. Cousin Eddie is an iconic character. He has some great lines in the original, in the first Christmas Vacation. It's very funny. You know, shitter's full. Everyone loves that fucking line. See it everywhere. Every time Christmas rolls around, that comes out. They ruined whatever I don't know if it's dignity that this character had or gravitas. I might be giving too much credit, but god damn it. Like, if you're a fan of Cousin Eddie, do not watch this movie. It will destroy whatever you thought of that character. It just absolutely ruins it.
I got a little bit of a surprise for you guys. This was released, aired December 20th, 2003 on NBC.
Get out of town.
Yep. It was broadcast television, this movie was.
Dear God.
Yeah.
People sat down and watched this.
Yep. What was December 20th in 2003? Was this like a Sunday night movie?
Is that so? Then a few years later, or actually much later, right? Because now NBC does like the live action plays. Is that
it? I was guess a Saturday. It was a Saturday night.
People wasted their Saturdays on this.
Rolled right into the local news, and then Saturday Night Live probably aired their Christmas episode.
Jeez, if people were still watching NBC at that point,
yeah,
just jeez. The Nielsen ratings just tanked that day. Watched us.
This was rough, and everyone that was in this movie deserved to never work again.
I said the same thing.
Lucky for Randy Quaid, his personality solved that part of the equation for him.
And I think Ed Asner was just too old to give a shit, like if he worked or not. Like, yeah, if this is my, you know, this is my swan song, so be it.
I think Ed Asner spent the last 20 years thinking he was going to die eventually. Like, it's got to be coming soon.
Yeah, that wasn't a line in the script. Roles. That wasn't a line in the script when he entered the movie. That was what he said every day he walked on set.
I'm just gonna die. I want to do it laying down. Yeah. It's such a jarring movie. And again, the scenes take forever. Like, there's no cuts at the beginning when the plumbing goes bad. That scene's like a 10-minute long scene.
Yeah.
Where they're just fighting the waters, bursting out of the bathtub, trying to get in touch with the plumber. Oh, Jesus Christ, please move on to something else. And then they move on to the airplane. The airplane. That took forever.
I guess the joke is that it's, now that I know it's not their house, I can see why they kept going with that joke. But I always thought the funnier joke would have been if the wife just fixed it immediately.
Like she went in basically acting as if she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I thought that would have been the funnier joke, is she just like showing that she's the competent one in the relationship.
Oh, and another thing, we spend far too much time seeing Randy Quaid without his shirt on. Far too much. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't want to body shame anybody here.
Oh, there's definitely body shame Randy Quaid.
There's no reason to see that. No one asked for that. There's a good chunk of the movie where he's not wearing a shirt. It's got to be like 20, 30 minutes of the movie.
The same guy that's released a sex tape.
Was that when he was in Canada?
I think so, right? He was seeking asylum in Canada.
famed Canadian porn star, Randy Quaid. There's no plot to this movie. The jokes are very blasé. Is that what I'm looking for? It's just gross, really. Obviously Ed Asner with the horny old man bit. I had completely forgotten how many kids Cousin Eddie has. He's got like 12, right? Because they mention so many of it. And the son's watching the daughter strip, apparently, at one point.
Yeah, right.
Gross. And yeah, it's just a bad movie. I think that we could just boil it down to a bad movie, right? Yeah. Everything else that we review has at least some air of competence in a way. This has none of that.
Yeah, this is rough, but at least we got to see the first Audrey again.
That poor woman.
This is the only time anyone has reprised their role as Audrey or the son or Rusty is for this movie.
That's right. And when she first walks onto the scene saying, "I'm gonna kill myself," dynamite entrance.
Yeah,
that was awesome to hear. That's exactly what I want to see out of one of my main characters. I'm gonna kill myself. All right, just realized what movie she was in.
Was that character, again, as dumb in the original as she was in this movie?
I mean, she was a teenage girl, so she was as dumb as a teenage girl can be, but she wasn't specifically stupid.
That makes sense, because I think in the first... No, in the first movie, she was too young. Oh, she's from European Vacation, right?
I thought she was from Vacation. I thought she was the original Audrey.
The Audrey in European Vacation is like constantly wanting to get in touch with her then-boyfriend. Right. So this entire movie, Audrey is lamenting about not having a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Well, that her actual boyfriend was married.
Oh yeah, that's right. So
yeah, that twist was terrible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What's her name? I don't want to ruin this poor woman's name. Is it Milwaukee or is it like Mooka?
Yeah, it has a different name. Just call her Milwaukee.
Yeah. Like, oh, so her husband is living in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
What?
Mooka Laka Miki.
That feels racist, right?
Yeah.
It's gotta be. I think, didn't Eric Idle reprise his role as the English victim from European Vacation?
Yep.
Okay, that's a nice little nod there, I guess. It's what everybody wanted.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the people who, like, the main people who reprise their roles. That's tough sledding. It's like, that's where you're at in your life.
Right, like Miriam Flynn, who plays his wife.
Yeah, Catherine.
Thankless job.
Yeah.
Right?
She's always the wife.
Yeah. And there's just that weird weird joke that they never really address of, like, she does everything for the family.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one out shoveling while he's just eating a sandwich. Just like, why? Right. Like, why are we supposed to be rooting for this obvious piece of shit?
Yeah.
And he's in every movie, he's basically portrayed as a loser, right? He never has a job. He doesn't know how to speak correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's lazy. He's gross. Yeah. It's just, yeah, well, again, the proper vacation movies he's funnier in, because there's actual writers, and Chevy Chase is in it, Beverly D'Angelo is in it. So good actors are in it.
And he's also not on screen for as long.
For an hour and 28 minutes. That's a good point. Yeah, you get him in small doses, but he obviously works much better with Clark, with Chevy Chase's character. Again, this is kind of like the Gotham show, right? Where it just strictly portrays, it's from Commissioner Gordon's point of view. Who gives a shit? I don't care about Cousin Eddie's point of view on anything. He's an idiot.
So, Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Christmas Island Adventure from 2003, is directed by Nick Mark, who did mostly TV, including Buffy and Veronica Mars. Directed a few episodes of both of those. Stars: Randy Quaid, Fred Willard, Miriam Flynn, Eric Idle, Angela Bennett, Roger Bumpus, Stephen First, Dana Barron, Ed Asner, Lee Sung-hee, and Julian Stone. Has an IMDb score of 2.7 and a Rotten Tomato score. No critic score, but a 12% audience. And I could not find any budget information. But it looks cheap as fuck. Probably about $1 million, I would say, if I had to guess.
Yeah, pretty bad. I'm not looking forward to this, if I'm being honest.
I'm going to just end it here. Nope, all right.
I don't want to rehash this nightmare, this waking nightmare.
And it is produced by National Lampoon, so it's probably technically National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Island Adventure.
Such a short title.
Yeah.
Yeah, rolls off the tongue.
National Lampoon should stop making direct-to-video and apparently TV films.
They do a lot.
There's like 1,000, like, these college movies, Senior Trip, Dorm Days, Barely Legal, all that kind of shit.
They also did Van Wilder, right?
Van Wilder. National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
Yeah, they ride the coattails of the original vacation movies.
Yep.
They just ride that till you can't anymore, I guess.
Yeah, Animal House, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, right. Animal House being the bigger... Is it the bigger one? Probably Vacation probably made more, but both obviously well-known comedies.
I feel like Animal House is more of a touchstone of the culture than Vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh,
I'm just looking at... So, National Lampoon, Inc. Gold Diggers, Dorm Days, Barely Legal, Going the Distance, The Almost Guys, Adam and Eve, Cattle Call, Electric Apricot, Quest for Festeroo, Pucked, Van Wilder of the Rise of Taj, The Beach Party at the Threshold of Hell, Stoned Age, Totally Baked, Potumentary, Bag Boy, One Too Many, Robodoc, Transylvania, Endless Bummer, Cheerleaders Must Die, Dirty Movie, Dictator's Son, Frat Chance, The Legend of Awesomest Maximus, Snatched, Surf Party, Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant Dead.
God, you hurt me with every single one of those.
That last one's actually pretty good. That's a documentary.
Which one was it?
Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant Dead. That's a documentary about National Lampoon.
how they got started and all that.
Yeah, that's actually interesting.
Yeah, that would actually make more sense why you would want to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nightmare. I can't believe it.
Yep, this sucks. You guys want to get into the plot? I know your answer to this question, but we got to do it anyway.
can you imagine that a movie with Larry the Cable Guy, a Christmas sequel starring Larry the Cable Guy, was probably infinitely better than what we watched?
Get her done.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
It's pure insanity.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that it's worse than this.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine anything worse.
All right, let's get into the plot. What do you got for us, Dan?
Oh, God. All right. Gotta myself. All right. Go check out our friends, Tia and Brittany. They have their own podcast that is on Geek Vibes Nation and on YouTube. It's called Coffee Break with Tia. Tia and Brittany sit down, have very nice discussions on good movies and TV shows. They don't talk about what we're about to talk about. They wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. They're very nice people, good friends of the podcast. Tia is the head writer for Geek Vibes Nation, GVNation.com. Brittany is a streamer at Itty Bitty Brit on Twitch. Go give them follows. Again, just super awesome people. Check them out.
Okay, and we're going to take a quick break, and you guys are going to listen to some messages from friends of the podcast, and we will be back in a second.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan Jay.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast. Every week, the ODPH is talking sports, movies, TV, comics, and more. It's always a parlay of topics on each episode. You can find the ODPH on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you find great podcasts, such as the one you're listening to right now. Don't forget to check out OchoDuroParlayHour.com, where you can find the links to all of the ODPH social media accounts, links to the bands whose music you hear each week on the show, hashtag 607 podcast info, and parlay points, our companion blog section of the show. Thanks for listening to the ODPH. Now get back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Welcome, travelers. Seems like you're looking for a story. Well, I got one for you. It involves adventure, friendship, and all sorts of...
Earl, why don't you tell him about that time I stole that big-ass melon?
Yeah, I was going for more.
Or you could tell him about the time I kicked your ass, Earl.
I wouldn't ever tell him.
Do I need to get my ref gear on?
Okay, everyone, shut up. Now come with me as I tell you a story from afar.
Hey, everybody. My name's David. I'm the DM for From Afar Podcast. From Afar Podcast is all about four friends separated by distance, but brought together by adventure. Hope you all stop by and give us a listen. Thanks.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And welcome back. Now it's time to get into this week's plot. For Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Christmas Island Adventure. We open on Chicago, Illinois, as we see a suburban street decorated for Christmas. We then cut to Clark Griswold Johnson, named after his mom's cousin's husband. We'll refer to as Third for the rest of the movie. He's talking to a girl from class as they're walking back from school, and he gets to info dump to us exactly why he's in Chicago. They're supposed to be house-sitting Audrey's house while she's visiting her boyfriend in Indiana. This girl asks what his dad does, and he says he's in nuclear testing. She thinks he's a scientist, and Third says not exactly. So then we cut to Eddie, strapped to a machine along with a chimp, and scientist Fred Willard is telling someone else that the research is to inject the subjects with nuclear waste and test how it affects their brains. And naturally, the chimp is smarter than Eddie, as the chimp houses him in several games of tic-tac-toe. Then later, Fred Willard brings Eddie and the chimp into his office to let Eddie know that they're stopping the experiment due to lack of funding, right before Christmas, too. and a
bitch. That's how it always is.
Yep. One day left to retirement. Eddie goes back to the house and laments his plight as his family tries to cheer him up, except for the third. Doesn't really feel bad for him because he's smart enough to realize his dad is a failure.
Yeah.
At night, in bed, his wife Catherine tries to cheer him up some more, and then he decides to take a bath because he can't sleep. Hijinks ensues as Eddie turns a simple thing like taking a bath into an absolute disaster, as he pulls the knob off the wall, which starts a chain reaction of all the bathroom fixtures come shooting off the walls, spraying water everywhere. Catherine tries to use some tools to fix the problem, and then he goes to call the 24-hour plumbing hotline as the situation in the bathroom continues to get worse, and that's it. That doesn't seem to solve any, nothing gets solved, and then we just cut to the next scene. Eddie goes back to the lab and begs for his job back, and in the process offends the chimp, who then bites Eddie in the ass. So to pay him off, Fred Willard sends the whole family on an all-expenses-paid trip to the South Pacific. Third is not too pleased to go on a trip, and he wants to stay with Audrey for the holiday, and just like that, Audrey comes home from Indiana and announces that she wants to kill herself and breaks down crying.
Such comedy.
Mm-hmm. Turns out her Indiana boyfriend was married, and they broke up, as one does when they find out that their Indiana boyfriend is married. We also find out that Eddie's metal plate is now radioactive because of the testing, and there's a running joke of Catherine having to do all the work around the house, including shoveling, because Eddie is an unrepentant deadbeat.
And she either that snow or real snow or fake snow was pretty bad, or that woman has never shoveled before, because she kept almost face planting throughout the entire scene with Audrey.
Sure.
There's also later. A weird running okay. gag. I'm sorry. There's also a weird running gag where everybody says Merry Christmas when something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Is it
yeah, are you part of the war on Christmas, Dan?
No, I just don't understand what the gag is. Is it like, oh, here's something bad, but Merry Christmas. Is that it?
That's the joke.
That's it, right?
That's the joke.
It's not funny.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
there's going to be a theme. There's going to be a theme of this episode of that's not funny.
Yeah,
I wish we should have a counter for things that are just not funny. We're already at 10 things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this movie is an hour and 28 minutes of not funny things.
Yeah. Strap in.
Later, Uncle Nick shows up. Ed Asner, dressed in a Santa suit. Apparently his wife of 50 years ran off with a 28-year-old Christmas tree delivery man, so he wants to stay with them instead. And then he goes on the trip with them, too. They all pile into the cab, including Snots, who is now gassy because of his medication, which comes in handy because his farts make the entire airport clear out, which allows them to skip the line that the people are vacating.
Yeah, and just to double back to one thing real quick. A lot of these, like, the jobs of people or descriptions of people just felt like these people were in a boardroom just, you know, throwing darts at index cards on a wall. It's like, the person they run away with is a Christmas tree delivery salesman. All right, let's put that in.
Yep. As they go through airport security, Eddie knocks Eric Idle onto the belt with a bag and then knocks him over again after he helps him back up. And then the security wand gets stuck to Eddie's metal plate. On the plane, Audrey is having a real hard time with her breakup, and Eddie assaults Eric Idle once again as he tries to open his bag of peanuts. They land, and there are girls there giving them lays, whom are assaulted by Uncle Nick. And we are introduced to Muka Laka Miki, a representative of the agency, who's also assaulted by Uncle Nick, who you just know has old man breath.
Yeah.
Old man what? Stink.
Is it cigarettes and whiskey on him, or different kind of alcohol?
Yeah, it's probably bourbon and denture cream.
Yeah,
it's a brown liquor. It's some brown liquor.
Yeah. Once they're all settled, Muka picks the family up to show them around the island. They go to the beach for a luau and meet Melbourne Jack, the Australian owner of a hotel that is far too dressed for the weather. Audrey's immediately smitten and basically forces Jack to give her a tour of the beach. And then the family goes to take a boat ride, but the boat captain had to go deliver his own baby, but he left the keys in case someone is able to drive the boat. So Uncle Nick
does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look. Uncle Nick says he can, and then takes an hour to figure out how to turn on the boat. Finally, leave the dock, and after forgetting to unhook it from the dock, and they head to open water. And Uncle Nick realizes that he doesn't see a compass on board. So they decide to go back to land, but then Eddie, who has been fishing off the boat, hooks a shark, which then drags the boat all over the place. Uncle Nick puts down the throttle to start pulling the shark. The fishing line snaps eventually, and they wreck on land. They don't know what island it is. What was that?
That's another scene that takes entirely too long.
Yep. All these gags that are just extended for way too long.
Oh, man. Bad and, like, bad CGI and clear, it's clearly green screen, terrible acting throughout. It's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
They don't know what island they've crash landed on, but Mooka is apparently really from Milwaukee, and they decide to go on land and search for anything. But they forget to anchor the boat, so it drifts away. This is the exact plot point of an episode of Full House where they went to Hawaii and they lost the boat because they forgot to anchor it down.
Anchor it down.
Yep. And then they also find that they are on the right island, just the wrong side of it. So it's the exact plot of the Full House episode where they go to Hawaii.
Maybe they were watching that episode while writing it.
There are less Beach Boys in this movie, though.
I see your point.
Yeah. Mooka explores the island and comes back that says she found a freshwater stream and a good place to camp for the night. So they all go to sleep, but not before Uncle Nick makes more unwanted advances on Mooka. In the morning, Eddie accidentally builds a fire, then he and Third go out with handmade spears to hunt for food. On the hunt, both Third and Uncle Nick stumble upon Mooka bathing in a lake, and they both stare at her doing so for way too long. It's probably acceptable for Third, because he's a kid, not acceptable for Uncle Nick.
But who's a dirty, dirty old...
Yep. They all make it back to the beach without any spoils from the hunt. They all lament the fact that they're stuck on the island for Christmas, but Mooka says they should have an island Christmas, which we already established. She's from Milwaukee, so she probably doesn't know what she's talking about. But
can
she
I
says,
say real quick,
yep,
my heart breaks for this actress who plays Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, no one should have to be subjected to what she's subjected to in this.
It's very thankless.
It's heartbreaking. It really is. It's like, man, you get assaulted. It's almost like your heritage is just being trampled on in a way.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I wonder how many takes Ed Asner made them do for that scene where they fall on top of each other.
You know, I don't think he would. He's a professional, right? I don't think he's that kind of guy.
I would hope not.
Right?
Yeah.
Nothing has been told of Ed Asner where he was a legit creepy old man. Everyone seemed to really love him. I'm hoping it was just maybe he even like objected to it. Like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I have to do this. I was on Mary Tyler Moore. Have you ever seen it?
She hasn't worked since 2009.
Okay,
she played Ferrari in The Girl Next Door, though.
That's with Elijah Cuthbert.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. That movie wasn't terrible.
Mooka says island Christmases are just giving thanks for all you have in life. So they talk about what they like about their lives, I suppose, and they decide that they should build a house on the island. Eddie decides that he needs a real Christmas dinner, so he goes out to hunt again. Comes across a pig and goes trouncing through the woods chasing after it, and then he comes across the mother of that pig, which chases him up a tree. And the tree branch breaks right on top of the mom, and Eddie inadvertently kills it. They cook up the boar, and everyone has such heartfelt things to say to each other, even Eddie, who is a failure. And it's Christmas, and they exchange the best gifts they could conjure up on the island. Third makes a spear to give to Eddie, and Eddie gives Audrey a lipstick he took out of her purse. And then they sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and pass out some booze that Eddie made with some bourbon and other things. And then they christen the house with the breaking of a coconut. Then they all go into the house, and the house falls apart when they shut the door. Then we get a commercial break, and then Eddie comes back and they take a nap. And we use footage that we've seen before. It was really weird. I thought the clip had errored, so gone back to the beginning. And he imagines himself in some sort of Tarzan-esque silent movie where he saves Catherine from the chimp. And if this scene didn't exist, we would have had a movie that was 2 minutes shorter. And then he wakes up. And then they see a plane, and it's Melbourne Jack, and he lands, and he tells them he was just checking out his hotel, which is 2 miles away from where they were on the same island, just like that Full House episode. And for some reason, Jack and Eddie are walking around and decide to move a rock, and Eddie drops the rock on Jack's foot and then knocks him down a hill. After falling down the hill, Jack composes himself to fly them out to safety. Then while flying, Jack has an obvious concussion, which Eddie ignores, and Jack falls asleep while flying. So Eddie has to take the controls. Air traffic control gets on the radio and talks them through doing an emergency landing. And Eddie's an idiot, so he doesn't do a good job. Basically, any other passenger on this plane should be talking to air traffic control. After buzzing the tower in a sequence that goes way too long, Eddie lands the plane in the bay. And then we find out that Mooka is the wife of Audrey's Indiana boyfriend.
At the hotel, Nick's wife shows up and probably fucked a 28-year-old. They visit Jack at the hospital and turns out he's married with 5 kids, much to Audrey's chagrin. And they meet the air traffic controller who has had a nervous breakdown because of Eddie. Eddie gets invited to the island headquarters of the testing facility, and Fred Willard offers Eddie a job as the chimp goes on vacation. But Eddie says he has a new job. And then we see Eddie and the chimp fly a plane upside down. And that's the end. Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Christmas Island Adventure. Record time. Yeah, fuck this movie.
It just ends that way. And again, the airplane scene, entirely too long. And they made the air traffic controller a goddamn idiot.
Yeah. He forgets that they're in a seafaring boat. A seaplane.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. What? Why? What was the point of adding that? What's the point of making the air traffic controller an idiot?
What was the point of making Third a genius, supposedly?
And he solves nothing.
Yep.
I thought that was the whole point of this movie was, all right, the son's a genius, the dad's an idiot, so the son's going to have to basically, you know, it's like Lisa and Homer, right?
Right.
Whenever they're together, Lisa's usually the one solving the problems. Homer's just bungling his way through everything.
It should have been like maybe he was the one that lands the plane.
Right.
You know. Yeah. But I guess we wouldn't have had that hilarious trying to land the plane scene then.
Yeah. And they said Audrey was helping Jack out. Audrey blowing Jack? Because she wasn't by his mouth.
Maybe. We got to go back and watch it.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do, Ant.
holy shit. Holy shit.
It was bad.
Everything about it. No laughs. There was no laughs in this movie to be had.
Nope.
I'm usually the positive one on this podcast.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Right? Because Cousin Eddie has some pretty good lines in Christmas Vacation. The first Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. It seems like a whole bunch of jokes that were just left on the cutting room floor from other National Lampoon movies, and they threw it together.
I wonder if this movie. These kind of movies are like where certain writers cut their teeth, you know?
This was not a young writer, so we can't even use that excuse. He was the writer of this movie. He's not a writer by trade. Matty Simmons, but he is the producer for basically every other Vacation movie.
He's like a mattress salesman or something.
This was like the producer saying, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got he's a producer on Animal House, European Vacation, basically a lot of National Lampoon stuff. Vegas Vacation, Christmas Vacation. So he's got his name on that. He has 6 writing credits, all of which I believe are National Lampoon's movies, except for his one random credit here that is completely different than everything else. Baby Huey's Great Easter Adventure. Yeah, you know who Baby Huey is? That giant duck cartoon baby?
It sounds familiar.
Well, this is live action. A boy and his friends must save Baby Huey from the evil plans of a Las Vegas producer and the high school ornithologist. Mm.
I don't know. That sounds very bad. Jeez Louise.
Put it in the poll.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, man. This has a lot of people we've covered before. It's got Harvey Korman, who was in Star Wars Holiday Special. David L. Lander, who's Squiggy, so from that one clown movie we watched.
Oh, at the carnival, right?
Yeah. It's got Maureen McCormick, Marsha Brady herself, John Vernon, Lorraine Newman, Stuart Pankin, who we've covered. He was in Dirt Bike Kid.
Man, this is a who's who.
Yeah.
A T.C. Tam who's who. I think this was kind of how Mark said it. You know, hey, we have, X amount of money to do something here. Let's just throw this shit together. People love Cousin Eddie. It's just a poor attempt at pretty much everything, right? Like bad green screen, bad acting, bad writing, bad story. There is no story. There's no plot where Cousin Eddie is an idiot and comes out better on the other side for it. He's just an idiot throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. One of those movies where he didn't learn a lesson.
Yeah, no one learns a lesson. Not even Uncle Ned, right? Because he takes his cheating wife back. I mean, I get why she left him, because he sucks, right?
He's, yeah.
Oh, like, after you're done massaging me, go make me a proper meal, woman. Yeah, I would have left you for a 28-year-old dude too.
What was the knowing nod between the wives, though? That's one question. What was that?
Catherine realizes that she's gonna murder Cousin Ned. Like, I'm gonna kill him. Okay. Oh, that's just good family fun.
Yeah, that was a weird moment. Like. Was it? I wasn't sure. It was supposed to be, oh, that's why you ran off with that 28-year-old. Sure, to, right. Like, because it wasn't like Uncle Nick was like, oh, sorry, baby, I'm gonna start treating you better, and then like wink to Catherine and just like, oh, see, she had a plan. No, it was just like, we're back in the same shit we were before I went and fucked that 28-year-old.
Well, so now what's going to happen is she's just going to constantly belittle him. Like, that 28-year-old was so much better than you. He was packing heat, blah, blah, blah. He really stuffed my chimney. Like, fuck you. Or is Uncle Nick too old now to really care? I mean, he literally, the first thing he wanted to do was just die.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as he's on the market as like a single person, not so much like, I'm going to get some tails. Like, I just want to fucking die.
Right. They were going to stay on the island because Asner's character has a throwaway line to Third. Like, Third's like, oh, we're rescued. We're going to be saved. And he says, saved from what? Oh, I thought he was going to say, oh, I'm just going to stay on the island. Fuck it. I got nothing to live for. I'm just going to hang out on a paradise. No, everyone just goes back to being their shitty old selves. And we are lesser for it as a nation.
Yeah. All right.
So, this has a 12% rating, right?
Yeah.
That means there are people out there sat down, probably watched this movie more than once and enjoyed it.
Yeah, let's see.
That's sad. That's scary. Those people should be hunted down.
Yeah, they should be at least quarantined. Stupid is contagious, right?
It reminds me of the people in Boston that I worked with who said that Jupiter Ascending was better than Guardians of the Galaxy. Those are the people who gave this a 12%. This movie's great. So much better than the first Vacation.
500th rating. 500 people have rated this?
I believe 500 people watched.
No verified. Good Christmas Vacation sequel is better than European Vacation and Vegas Vacation. Stop. Ages 10 plus.
Stop. I'm begging you, watch these. They did not watch this. I'm trying to think, who could have possibly left that? Was it Jake Thomas who placed Third?
Possibly. I'm trying to see if there's one out really outlandish score.
10 out of 10.
It's about as good as you'd expect from a low-budget sequel to Christmas Vacation centered on Cousin Eddie.
No,
the expectations aren't high, but it does have a few good moments.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. I wanted to see what the Letterboxd was. It's 1.2 on Letterboxd. That's still too high. Where do you get the one star from?
Let's see. Okay, this ain't nothing like the original Christmas Vacation, but it's a fun flick and a good spinoff.
Terrible.
It was good. However, they should have had Chevy Chase and the rest cast in it, like all the rest of the movies. Would have made it much more funnier.
That was fun to listen to. That must have been a good read right there.
Yep. I haven't found like a 5-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe there are any.
Again, like, everything on the Letterboxd is like shitter's full. So again, this character, it's a well-known character. And there were people who liked him, and I guess they just kind of rolled with it. Hey, everybody liked him in this movie. Let's push our luck. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just nothing came together for it. And you know, you blame it on everybody. Yeah, like, right, this is a team effort at failure.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid didn't do anything to help it. Miriam Flynn is just helpless regardless. She can't do anything in this movie. She's Catherine. She's never had anything good.
Right, yeah.
She's basically just, I'm here. I'm collecting a paycheck. I got to deal with Randy Quaid.
Yeah, she dried out the turkey.
Right, that was pretty... Save the neck for me, Clark. Man. Jake Thomas ever act again? Third Johnson?
I thought I saw him something. I'm all deep in my... Maddie Simmons rabbit hole. I gotta back up a little bit.
He was nominated for something. What did he win? In 2002, he won a Young Artist Award.
For Lizzie McGuire, probably.
No.
Oh, Really?
For AI, artificial intelligence. I had no clue he was in that movie. Supporting young actor.
Hmm.
He was nominated for Lizzie McGuire.
He's in two win. Episodes of the new Lizzie McGuire.
Oh.
Did that ever actually happen?
It's announced.
He must be pretty happy. I can't imagine he must have been doing much.
He was in an episode of your favorite show, Aunt, The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Such a good movie. Such a good show.
Last time he acted was in 2019. He was in an episode of SWAT. It's very few. It's very slim pickings for our boy, Bird Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. Dan, sure. Why don't you plug your show?
I don't really have much to plug. We're pretty much finishing up our Extra Life campaign, correct, Mark? It ends on New Year's, so...
December 31st, yes.
December 31st, so we're going to be doing another stream for that, try to, you know, push us over the edge, get us over our $2,000 mark. If you can join us, that'd be great. Hang out with us. We're going to be playing a few games on Twitch, on Game Vault Pod. That'll be it. Hopefully we can make our goal and help the kids out.
Yeah. And we have Stranger Damies, our D&D podcast. Final episode airs next Wednesday, coming up here. So be sure to check that out. The whole back catalog will be there for at least a year because apparently my Podbean subscription renewed today. So you guys will be able to listen to back episodes for another full year. Yay. So follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stranger Damies. We're still going to be continuing the campaign, so if you are interested in the story, we'll be updating with photos and posts there. And then we have our gaming podcast, the Game Vault Podcast, airs every other Monday. We're on Instagram and Twitter, all socials really, at Game Vault Pod. We do have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Game Vault Pod. We stream three nights a week. So you have Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We're going to have a special stream, I believe, the day this episode airs, for a final push for the Extra Life campaign. So join us. It's going to start early afternoon and go through, probably 6 hours or so. It'll be jump in and jump out. The main event will be, we'll be doing Jackbox a little after 9 p.m. if you're just looking forward to that. So yeah, that's about it.
Okay, great. And we are They Called Us a Movie. You can find us on all your podcast streaming apps just by searching They Called Us a Movie. We are also themaindamie.com. That is our main website. And it's also how you get in touch with us on socials. So that is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search The Main Damie and we'll pop right up. We are proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com and on all socials and all podcast streaming apps just by searching Geek Vibes Nation. Tons of great shows. If you're into geek stuff, there's surely a show for you. We are on TikTok. You can find us at They Called Us a Movie on TikTok, where we post some short little videos of our show. And that's They Called Us a Movie. You can find us there. Give us a follow and give us some likes on those videos. If you got a chance, if you got some time, go on your podcaster of choice and give us a 5-star review. I know Spotify is now doing reviews. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, I don't think it takes much to just click that 5-star button. It would help us out a great deal. If you have any questions, comments, you want to suggest a movie to us, hit us up at themaindamie@gmail.com. And that's basically every way to get a hold of us. And that's going to wrap it up this week. The movie this week was Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's Christmas Island Adventure, directed by Nick Mark. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling Nick Mark, well, you certainly made a movie, didn't you?
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.